Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. And Adobe Analytics is forecasting what the U.S. holiday season online shopping will look like. How much Americans will spend online starting on November 1 through December 31. Online shopping through the holiday season. How much are we going to spend? Holy cow.
This holiday season, we're expecting just over $240 billion to be...
$240 billion!
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
See, about the Badgers. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. He just nearly lost his mind just now. I'm done with Badgers, I promise. It's okay.
Marv! Thank you.
Let me set up what I want to talk about next, and you have some interesting statistics with this.
Okay.
Recent poll was published, results of the poll published on The Hill about the upcoming election and asking voters, you know, what's most important to you? Okay. And you do this all the time in an election cycle. What's most, what are the big things?
Yes. Well, how are, of course.
What's going to motivate the vote? Mm-hmm. This is a poll by The Economist / YouGov poll conducted in mid-August. 54% of voters said the most important issues to them were: number one, inflation and prices. Number two, jobs and the economy. Immigration, number three, taxes and government spending, rounding out the top four. So your top four things are all about our money, right? What's affecting our pocketbooks? We talk about inflation. We talk about sitting at the kitchen table and doing the family budget. How are we making ends meet? And Americans have angst over that. Some have real issues connecting and making those ends meet. Housing is costing more. Child care is costing more. Groceries costing more. We are very concerned about this. So many of these different polls show it's number one, number two, number three maybe reasons we're going to the polls and voting in this upcoming election. We're obviously very concerned about the economy.
Okay.
Okay, I've now set the stage for you to share this news.
All right. So it's almost the holiday season, and Adobe Analytics is forecasting what the U.S. holiday season online shopping will look like. How much Americans will spend online starting on November 1 through December 31. Online shopping through the holiday season. How much are we going to spend? Holy cow.
This holiday season, we're expecting just over $240 billion to be...
$240 billion! That is just online.
You sure that wasn't pesos?
No.
We spent online, so $240.8 billion for the holiday season exclusively through online retail.
That's just online! Online shopping, according to Adobe Forecast, it will be a record $240 billion online with Black Friday growth to outpace Cyber Monday. There'll be strong discounts, as high as 30% off listed prices, that'll drive shoppers to trade up in categories such as electronics, appliances, and sporting goods. Hey, this is a little bit cheaper. I might as well buy something a little bit better. Costs a little bit more, maybe. The season is also expected to be the most mobile of all time, with a record $128 billion spent through mobile devices at 53% share over desktop. So most people will even buy on their phone versus at their laptop or a desktop.
So what's the takeaway here? Is it that maybe we're better off than we think we are?
Well, I've teased about that for years. Like, every time I go out, whenever we go on vacation, mm-hmm. sure doesn't look like anyone's struggling to me. Every time I go anywhere on vacation, there's a billion people everywhere. Every place is packed.
Do we just think we're struggling? And I'm not, I certainly don't mean to suggest that some folks are living in poverty and have very different places than perhaps you do, than perhaps you and I do, or whatever. You know, we're all in our own areas. But is it that, and you know, I've got one kid in college right now. We're about to put two more in. Yep. So we're having these conversations about how can we afford to do this? Are we making ends meet? All of those things. So we're having those same conversations in my house as well. But is it maybe if we have a quarter of $1 trillion as Americans to spend just online for the holidays, are we maybe better off than we think we are?
And that's an 8.5% growth over last year as far as the online shopping. Well, I don't know. Or we're just willing to go into debt every year. I
mean, no, there's that, right?
I do wonder about that. And, like, my wife and I, we never, like, have a cap, per se. I mean, obviously, we know, we have a plan in place when it comes to...
Oh, happy holidays at the Bilstead home.
Well, but, I mean, like, here's
our budget.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we don't really have a strict budget. Of course, I mean, obviously, though, at the same time, we're not just freewheeling.
Well, if you are looking to save money on the holidays, all of the financial experts tell you to set a budget, right? Say, here's the money, and, you know, if you're really disciplined, put away $100 or $200 a month or whatever. And, you know, it's so easy to do with your bank now or your credit union where you set up a separate fund.
Yeah,
that's
right,
the Christmas fund or holiday fund, whatever. And you sort of funnel money to that slowly.
Yep, okay.
And then that's what you spend, right? Few of us are disciplined enough to do that, in part because we just don't have time, right? To even map it out.
Yeah, right. Is it time or is it society? Well, time says I have to buy this because Christmas Eve is tomorrow.
There is that, yep.
Or is it societal? Like, well, I got to get Vince something. Oh, I got to get Greg something. Oh, I got to get every other colleague something. I have to get my cousin something. You know what I mean? Is it that?
I'm going to sound like a big bah humbug here, which is really out of character for me. But you would find a rarity on this show.
Yeah, like, never.
I've been wishing we could dial it back with the gifts for years. And I don't mean just in my family. I mean in society. And it's not that I don't want to do nice things for people, but right. Like if you got me something, I would feel like I really should get you something. I should get something for Pancake. Well, if I'm going to get something for the two of you, should I do something for the whole newsroom? And you know, we're at work. And what about friends? I'm fascinated by my kids in high school and early college here who buy things for each other.
Yeah.
They buy things for each other's birthdays. They buy, well, I need to get this person a gift. I need to get her a gift, whatever. I'm like, why are you guys getting each other gifts? Like, hang out. Just be friends.
Save your money.
Right. So I am fascinated by that. I guess it's born of a good thing of wanting to do something nice to people. But, boy, if we're hurting at home and we're struggling to make ends meet and thinking about all that, you know, do we have the psychological strength to just dial it back on the gift giving?
Only if you're forced to.
I guess. Well, that is evidence. What was it? $240.8 billion
that will be the online sales this year, according to Adobe Analytics.
8:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
We have an update on the Milwaukee flag, the people's flag.
We hinted that this was a possible outcome when we discussed this yesterday, that the vote was a four.
All right,
or
so
a foot.
Here's a spoiler. That's your spoiler for it. But let's get right to it. Got to get to City Hall, of course. It's important.
Bureaucracy. Legislation. Red tape.
I'm so bored.
Doesn't anything fun happen here?
When you work for the local government, doing the bare minimum is doing your part.
It's time to take another visit to City Hall.
All right, so...
they've outdone themselves on this
one. On Tuesday, we knew this was coming up. The flag, the blue and yellow one with the sun in the middle, it's supposed to depict the sun rising over Lake Michigan. That was going to be discussed by the full common council. Would they make it the official flag? Because right now it's just a thing someone made. And a lot of people have grabbed onto it and love it and wear it and fly it, while others do not. So what was going to happen during the full common council? Alderman Burgalis was the one who pushed for this. He says the flag is for everyone.
I think Milwaukee can benefit from having a unifying symbol that represents all of Milwaukee, that everyone can use and adapt for their own people.
Well, see, that's the debate. We fundamentally disagree. We believe it's people. We don't.
Yeah, Alderman Stamper, he's not on board.
The flag is coined the people's flag, but honestly, which people? Who people? Not mine. So how can we coin it the people's flag?
Now, Stamper's point was, and he made this point, by the way, years ago, because I covered that committee hearing as well. He said years ago, and then he said it again on Tuesday, that, look, this wasn't an inclusive effort. He didn't believe that every aspect of the city was asked to be part of this creation of the people's flag, that only certain areas did, so it wasn't inclusive enough. It didn't have all ethnicities fully involved in the creation. So he doesn't like it. Neither does Alderman Bauman, who disliked the grassroots efforts that was made for the flag.
The process was very self-selected. It wasn't even initiated by the city. It was initiated by private individuals who took it upon themselves to decide that the city needed a new flag. They solicited quite on their own, entirely through private channels, very self-selected channels, to conduct a design competition.
Like he says it like it's a bad thing that people wanted to do something for the city of Milwaukee.
How dare these regular old citizens rise up and do something on their own without first running it by august body here at City Hall.
By skipping the red tape, avoiding the bureaucracy. I can't believe that.
And just doing it, coming up with, how dare you people
and
out there do
it worked.
That.
Amazing. Anyway, not everyone felt that way. Alderman Spiker says, let's get moving.
I think we're making ourselves look rather foolish here talking about
that ship has sailed.
But because the overwhelming impression I get in my district is just move on.
Time to do something else. Alderwoman Zamarripa said something similar. Plus, she said, what, are we going to spend money to start this process over again?
I feel that it's been referencing going back to a process that would cost some amount. And I feel like the constituents have already told us they don't want to spend any more time and resources on this.
So we vote on just because we want to vote.
Hold on, Alderman Chambers. Are you done?
Thank you, Mr.
Okay, Alderman Chambers.
So we just vote on stuff because we're tired of voting on stuff? Like, what? Where does that do that? Why are we elected then if we do that?
Well, another question we could explore. Sure you want to open up that Pandora's box?
So they voted 8-7 to prevent it from going back to committee. There was a group of seven that wanted to send it back. And that failed.
No.
So what do you do then? Okay, you're going to vote. And Bauman was like, really? You're going to vote 8-7 to pass this? Like, shouldn't it be unanimous that everyone loves the flag? If it's 8-7, Bauman's point was, that's not good for anybody, for the city, if you're suggesting that
All right.
We should pass it.
I don't totally disagree with him there. Fair point.
But then Alderman Coggs asked this.
Is there a fiscal note? And why is it not attached?
Do we have an answer to that?
Whoa.
So you don't need a fiscal note, which talks about the money that would be spent for different things, for different ordinances, but usually you do. And with that, they decided, you know what? Well, we should better send it back. So now it's been pushed to council again. It will be on the agenda likely in October, unless they push it another month. But either way, they can't keep sending it back to committee. They can't keep sending it to council. So something will have to happen with the flag. You either vote yay or nay next month or soon.
That's all I'm asking. I like the flag. I would love if they adopted it. Would I be heartbroken if they didn't? No. And at this point, just if it's a no, then it's a no. Like, we couldn't come to agreement on this.
Just
so then
to
it's
be
no.
done with it. Then you
but
just...
like, if it's, but let's have a vote. This is a nice song, though. .42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Remember when Nisnansky said it'd be fine playing Aaron Hills yesterday in the weather? He wasn't wrong. Like, it didn't rain on us. There was, like, nothing on the radar.
It was just super wet and misty.
It misted all day. Out there with Greg Matzik here from WTMJ, Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, Stephen Watson as well, who contributes on ESPN Milwaukee as well as Bally Sports. We're out at Aaron Hills for a major announcement. 5 USGA national championships are coming to Aaron Hills Golf Course in Washington County over the next 15 years. The United States Golf Association Chief Championships Officer was in town making that announcement.
We recognize greatness when we see it, and we've always felt that this is a very special place.
That's John Bodenhammer, again, the Chief Championships Officer for the entire United States Golf Association here in Wisconsin making this major announcement.
So that's a big announcement. But the question becomes,
I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
Well, it means what it means, and then there's what else it could mean, right? And it's an important question. I've told you many times, I love golf, so this is interesting to me. Is 5 amateur championships interesting to most folks who don't much otherwise care about golf? I suppose probably not, if I'm being honest. But these are a big deal in the golf world. So it is great for Aaron Hills. It's good for Wisconsin.
It's good for the state, for sure, right?
But is it a major? Is it like tantamount to a Ryder Cup? Is it the same thing as hosting a PGA Championship or a U.S. Open? As Aaron Hills will this coming spring. U.S. Women's Open is at Aaron Hills late May into early June of this coming year. So those are big deals where you're talking about, you know, potentially hundreds of millions of dollars in economic impact and all sorts of that. There's not no impact with these. Like the U.S. Amateur, which will return to Erin Hills in 2033. Sorry, that'll be the U.S. Women's Amateur. And on the men's side, the U.S. Amateur in 2035. And those bring players from all over the world, and those are the future stars of the game. You've got to be super good to be in this. It's an open, so there are various ways that you can qualify. But like Tiger Woods, before he became a pro golfer,
GMO,
won the U.S. Amateur.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the biggest also turned pro here in Milwaukee. That's right, at the Greater Milwaukee Open. So the future stars of the game will be here running around Erin Hills on both the men's and women's side in the next decade. That's a big deal in golf. But again, what does it mean in terms of majors? There's nothing beyond this coming Women's Open that is a major in golf on the men's or women's side scheduled for our state. We've gone three decades with always something to look forward to, whether it was Black Wolf Run or Whistling Straits or Erin Hills. And we don't have that on the calendar. So Greg Matzik and I are talking with Bodenhammer here from the USGA, and we're like, what do you think, man? Are we still in the running?
There's every opportunity for that to happen again. I think it's just a matter of how things unfold here, what the ownership. It's not just our decision. It's what the ownership wants to do as well. The state of Wisconsin, Erin, Wisconsin. But sure, absolutely.
Well, we're available.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. That was me just saying, like, well, please. Don't worry about us. We would like this.
Happy to do it.
Don't give me the, well, it depends on what you all here in Wisconsin wanted. No, we would like this very much. Next available slot, though, and this is another challenge, is the USGA plans these things so far out. They are booked for both the men's and women's open. They know the venues for all of those for the next 20 years almost.
Oh, my gosh.
The next time there's an available slot would be 2043.
That's too – why do they do that?
I could really get into the weeds on it, but there are a number of courses that they revisit every 5 years or so. They call them their anchor or their core courses.
So how do you get to be one of those?
Right. Well, why not? Why not us for that? But that's obviously going to be down the road. These things are set. Matzik did point out, on the men's side, Erin Hills hosted the U.S. Amateur in 2012, I believe. 2017, we got a U.S. Open. Erin Hills, on this slate of championships in 2035, will host the U.S. Amateur. That puts it in sort of that relationship for 2043. Could we get that announcement? I suppose it's possible.
So a generation from now.
Right? It's kind of where we are. So it's an honor for Erin Hills. It's an honor for the state. But most of these are the kinds that, you know, folks who don't pay attention to golf won't pay a lot of attention to. If you're even kind of a golf fan, though, they're really different. Like, if you went to any of the majors that were here, you know, you have the quote-unquote rope line where you can't go out on the course. If you go to the USAM, the U.S. Women's AM, you can walk on the course with the players. They keep some distance.
I bet they love that.
But you're, you know, Matzik's done it. I was talking to Gabe. He's done it. You just kind of walk. Like, you can even talk to him. Some are going to be more engaging than others. They try to keep a distance, but you're walking down the fairways. So it's a real different fan experience. It is great for the golf course. It's not to the level that you would say the entire state gets into it, but that's how I break it down. Some of these are kind of unique, too. We got a couple of four-ball championships. You know what four-ball is?
Mm-mm.
So it's a different kind of thing where you play. So it's a team thing. So you and I would be a team. We play Pancake and Debbie.
So then we run after our ball?
No, that's not. It's not what it is. You play your own ball, I play my ball, but we're a team. Whoever gets the lower score on the hole, so I get a 5, you get a 4, that's our score for the hole, 4.
Okay.
And then we play Pancake and Debbie, and we take their... So that's an amateur championship coming both for the men and the women in the future at Erin Hills. So you and I have a shot. Better work on your game. 8:48 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 8:52 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Happening right now, President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, is addressing the United Nations General Assembly. Trying to see if we can find that for you just to dip into it. Not certain whether he's speaking English.
You see that they were showing the Russian Federation while he was addressing the UN?
Can you bring some of that up, Greg?
For winter,
Greg Pancake Hill producing the program. Let's see if we can listen in.
Millions of Ukrainians. Ordinary families, women, children, ordinary towns, ordinary villages. Putin wants to leave them in the dark and cold this winter. forcing Ukraine to suffer and surrender. Just imagine, please, your country with 80% of its energy system gone, with such a destroyed part of the system. What kind of life would that be? Recently, I received yet
another... President Zelensky now addressing the UN General Assembly and watching along at CNN as well. They keep cutting to the Russian Federation, which is there. Like, and he spoke to the UN Security Council yesterday. Russia's a member of the Security Council while he's just blasting them. I'm not saying he should or shouldn't, just the looks here from the one woman's on her phone, like, so clearly trying to appear to not even be paying attention.
Right, right.
The other sort of a look of disinterest, like, okay, yeah, you lob your accusations at us, but it's both uncomfortable but also necessary. Mm-hmm. I guess that's one of the pillars of the UN. Force these folks to get together in the same place, maybe hopefully deal with some of this. No one expects anything to come of that or those meetings today.
Right.
But an interesting message. I will also point out he's wearing black. He's got the quarter zip, but not the olive. I don't know that I've ever seen him in anything other than olive.
Yeah, you're right. It's noticeable. It's noticeably right. It's different than what you would normally see him.
If that was deliberate or if he just stopped at the airport shop on the way in.
Isn't that interesting to think about that you have all of this power, all of these world leaders, right, all in one place in New York City. They all have to go someplace to eat and stay.
You think they run into each other like out there, right?
I mean, they're all staying at some restaurant or staying at some hotel.
Zelensky just saying that 80% of their energy production in Ukraine has been knocked out over the last 2.5 years in this ongoing war with Russia. President Zelensky addressing the UN General Assembly as we speak.
And expected to meet with the president, the vice president, and with former President Trump at some point during his stay.
8:54, Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Drying out with a high of 75 degrees today under mostly sunny skies.
We're hearing from Aaron Rodgers.
What's he want?
he does a Pat McAfee show all the time. And his teammate on the Jets, Sauce Gardner, has had issues with Bears. He lives in New Jersey someplace.
Like literally Bears, yeah, not Chicago Bears.
His ring camera constantly shows a family of bears outside his yard and in his yard. And Sauce Gardner's like, I don't want to go anywhere near these. So anyway, Rogers making a joke when McAfee asked him about that.
Where are these bears at? Do you live near bears over there? I didn't know you guys were in bear country.
I think he needs to call up Jordan Love. I think he's the owner of them right now.
Oh, God.
Yes. There it is. Yes.
Oh, I get it. All
there
right.
You go. Nice job.
Because... Aaron Rodgers was once the owner of the Bears.
Right, as yes. And now he's passing the torch.
Well, that was nice of him.
He's always easy to give a compliment to Love. He's not down on his gag.
He's good for that. WTMJ Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi up next.